For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello and welcome back to the Monday Waffle. I'm your host today, Sam McManus, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Holly Edwards-Smith and Mitchell Turner. How are we, guys?
I don't like the term co-host. I'm just going to jump in here and say that.
Well, there you go.
Got three big hosts today.
This is your captain speaking, and I'm joined by my flight attendants, Mitchell Turner and Holly Edwards-Smith.
We've hardly even got into the episode, and Holly's already causing
being a diva.
Yeah, which I like. I don't mind that. It's always good for the Monday
I thought
waffle.
Mitch was the diva, but anyway.
I thought the results were going to be the most exciting thing in this podcast, and maybe our feature interview, but Holly already taking the taking the limelight. I love it.
Now, we've only got three rounds left of the waffle, and it was another exciting weekend of football.
Yeah, some big results. Finals is starting to kind of play out, and we'll see exactly who will be taking part in, is it September action this year? I think it's still September action. It's probably a little bit of both.
If it starts in 4 weeks' time, that will be, late September.
It's changing all the time this year, so I don't really know, but normally we'll just say September action anyway.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It's close to crunch time. I'm excited. I'm actually sad that the season's almost over.
It's come and gone so quick, hasn't
really
it?
Really quick.
Like, 3 weeks left, that's caught me off guard when you just said that then. I haven't thought about that too much, but yeah, it's almost over, which is sad, but nonetheless, still plenty of good footy to play out in between now and then.
Now, I'm a Perth Demons fan, so I'm excited for two reasons. One, we're in the top four. Haven't played finals since 97. We're in the top four. Unbelievable. We're going to make finals, I reckon. And number two, later on, we'll be joined by Brady Gray to have a chat to him, obviously, Perth Demons, coming off 28 disposals against Claremont on the weekend. But let's take a look at some of the results from the weekend's games.
Let's jump right into it, guys. East Perth v Subiaco on the weekend. And, well, East Perth getting a bit of an upset win there by 9 points over the reigning premiers. And Subiaco starting to lose touch a little bit with the top four. So it might be the first time in a long time that Subiaco aren't in the final series.
Did you bet on Subi last week too? Didn't you have them pinned?
I tend to back in Subiaco most weeks, most years for a long time because I've been a Subiaco fan since I was little. But
okay.
I'm slowly moving over to the Perth Demons.
Mitch seems to think he's an inside man at the Subiaco Lions.
I did have a chat to one of their players on Friday.
Who was that?
Hayden Kennedy, good friend of mine, is doing some electrical work at my house, and I asked him ahead of the East Perth game how they were tracking, and he said they're just a bit riddled with injury at the moment, and they've just got a lot of key outs, and they're a little bit flat, and some guys may be coming to the end of their careers as well, so it's just hard for them to get up at the moment. So still trying to win, doing their best, but they just feel a little bit under the pump at the moment, so it might be the first time in a while we don't see them take part in September, and certainly lost on the weekend.
You wouldn't have dreamed about it at the start of the year.
No, not
at all. One loss in 3 years.
It's hard to stay up for 6 years.
It is, but they're on paper.
But you would have thought
they're
the still
best,
maybe
best club.
Yeah, you'd think they'd make the finals at least. But East Perth were up against Claremont the week before and I think scored 1 point in the second half. So this week they played out a full four quarters and actually managed to play better in the second half and got the win. So Jackson Ramsey, 29 disposals, probably the Sandover medal favourite at the moment. Nathan Blee, 31 disposals, 8 marks. Matt Young, 3 goals. Eddie Simpson, 2 goals. And Scott Jones, 24 hit-outs to only 7 hit-outs from Lockie Delahunty. So he monstered the reigning Sandover medalist. And Aiden Lynch, our man, always got to give him a mention, 22 disposals.
Well, that's why I brought up your tip, actually, Mitch, because like Aiden Lynch, I'm also a big fan of the Monday Waffle. And I'm just wondering if this week your tip might change. Obviously, East Perth got another win and he played pretty well. We'll have to wait and see. But we'll go to their opponents. Subi, Ben Sokol, 3 goals. And Lee Kitchen, 25 disposals. But not a lot of key players this week for Subi, which might explain the result.
Exactly. Perth v Claremont, Sam.
Perth, yeah. Speaking of the opposite of Subi this year, Perth exceeding expectations. Had another win against Claremont, running out 70-53 winners. Logan McDonald continues to impress. 2 goals for the Demons. Brady Gray, who we're speaking to in a while, 28 disposals. And they're looking good.
They are looking good. And the Pike Cup is now in Perth's hands after being Claremont's last year.
Yeah, so the Pike Cup, I think named after Don Pike, potentially. I'm assuming that's the reason why the former Eagle, I think
Claremont. Or is it named after the fish?
It's father, son.
Could be named after the fish. Yeah, so who's actually in town at the moment, Don Pike. So I'm not sure whether he's living in Perth. But
yes, I've heard him on radio.
Yeah, has been doing the rounds with some junior teams and stuff. So there you go.
Grandstand. Yeah, well, a good pickup from whoever's making these cups to play for, because a father-son duo, obviously, from each team. Like, whoever just discovered that one day and was like, let's put it in a cup. Let's make it a day. I like it. It's a good little, you know, competition between the clubs. It's good.
Yeah, big fan of it.
Holly, West Perth versus East Freer. You were down there.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Claremont a little bit maybe first, Sam.
Yeah, especially Alec Waterman.
4 goals.
Kicking bags this year.
I went to school with Alec Waterman, so I probably shouldn't have skipped over the Claremont boys because I know about 17 of them. But, yeah, look, they've got some players that are playing well, but they just can't get the results on the board against Perth on the weekend.
Well, one of your former schoolmates, actually, or teammates, also had a big day in
the ruck. Jez Goddard.
Yeah.
The 6'10" giant.
38 hitouts.
He used to tap it to me in midfield and I'd turn it over.
He's probably happier that he's tapping it down to guys like Jai Bolton and Bailey Rogers now, but I'm sure you were fine back in the day, Sammy.
Did you look like a four-year-old there? Because, I mean, you're, what, 22 now and you look about 10, so I can't imagine.
I looked the same as I do now. So, yeah,
just
so
a baby on the
11.
Field.
And had the same ability as well. You're saying West Perth v East Freo?
Yes.
Yes. So West Perth got another win, 8-11-59 to East Fremantle's 8-7-55.
Had to work for it. They were behind all day until the last quarter, West Perth.
Well, that's just what they wanted you to think.
Yeah, I thought East Freo were going to like cause a big upset, and I was like, to be honest, I was barracking hard for East Freo, but then no, West Perth.
It's the usual suspects for West Perth. It's an Aaron Black, Shane Nelson. It's, you know, it's their guys, their go-to guys that are performing week in, week out.
Keegan Knott kicked 2 goals, and one of those goals was he was doing the classic Keegan Knott where he's dancing around selling candy. A few of them I noticed on the weekend had their shirts tucked in as well, just for a bit of banter. The West Perth boys running around with their shirts like tucked in, running the
like
Maddie,
the 70s basketball sort of look.
Yeah, and running like the Matty Rao Gold Coast look at the moment. So I don't know why, but Keegan Knott was one of those guys, and Aaron Black also had the shirt tucked in and the Guernsey tucked in. It was an interesting look, but
we love it.
If as long as they win, they can dress how they like.
Matty Rao is going to be the next head coach of the Gold Coast Suns at this rate.
Exactly, East Freo.
And I just do want to say as well, last week's guest Tyler Cartel, 2 goals as well.
Yeah, so still
not as good as last week, but
still finding the big
it's a hard act to follow though.
Yeah, you can't kick six every week.
Yeah, East Freo, Tim Bockman, 2 goals. Erdley, 28 disposals and 24 disposals for Jansen.
Big Jared Jansen, good man. Swans v Peel, Sammy.
Swans v Peel. Look, Peel Thunder. They're always going to have a rough year, and it has continued going down 62-33 to the Swans. Swan District's impressing again. Corey Galt, 18 disposals, 35 hitouts.
Yeah, so he's looking. There's been a bit of talk about him potentially getting picked up by another AFL side. Was it Collingwood previously?
I might sound ignorant here, but is Sam Fisher the St Kilda Sam Fisher?
No, not the same Sam Fisher, but is a recruit from over east and is having a pretty good year. So he had another 25 disposals. George Hampson, 25 disposals and 2 goals. So one of the guns from the Waffles, won a few best and fairest other clubs that we'll hear about later on. He may have suffered a little bit of an injury.
Two form bombers for the Peel Thunder couldn't get their side over the line, only managing 5 goals for the game. 4 goals for the game. 4 goals, 9. Jesus.
And all single goal kickers. I feel bad, honestly, when a team doesn't get any wins for the season. And obviously, we're in a situation here where the season's a lot smaller. So hopefully, maybe Peel can sneak one in.
The Adelaide Crows.
Who'll win one first, Adelaide or Peel? Peel are running out of games.
I'd honestly put money on Peel because Adelaide aren't looking too
good. Peel have been better than we thought they would look.
Yes, so, they've been competitive in most games.
And you mentioned a few of the bombers on their side, like Benny Howlett and Jackson Merritt. He had 26 disposals on the weekend. Jackson Merritt as well as Ben Hancock with 25. So they're playing okay. They're just, unfortunately,
they just don't look too good on the ladder right now. Taking a look at the ladder, South Freo still, obviously, with a bye. They are on top, 5 wins, 0 losses. West Perth, 5-1. Claremont, 4-2. And Perth rounding out the top four with 4 wins, 1 loss.
Yeah, and then Subiaco and East Perth sitting there in 2-3. So the only two other sides that could potentially, you know, with results going their way, maybe slide into the finals. But South Freo and West Perth have sewn up those final spots.
In a short season, a win is worth double.
Exactly.
It's
Perth v Subiaco is looming like a very, very important match this weekend.
And then Swan Districts, East Freo, both only one win, and Peel Thunder, like we said before, currently on 6 losses and no wins. So we'll see how the rest of the season pans out.
Imagine if East Freo got that win on the weekend and they were 2-3. We had Subi, East Perth and East Freo on 2-3. We would have a genuine little fight for that number 4 position.
Bit of
potentially
an NBA-style play-in, maybe.
Exactly. But unfortunately not. But that's all for the round results.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
We're joined on the line now by Perth Demons footballer Brady Gray. Brady, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Claremont have been flying this year, but you knocked them off on the weekend and you played a huge role, 28 disposals. What kind of confidence does that give you going into the last 3 rounds of the 2020 season?
Yeah, obviously they were coming in off a few good wins and certainly got a lot of good players through their midfield and down back. We knew it was going to be a bit of a challenge and they got a hold of us in the first quarter, but for us to respond and get the win probably sets us up for the next 3 weeks where we're pushing for that last final spot. And, you know, obviously the win on the weekend takes us to 4 wins, so hopefully 2 more will get us into the finals and that's where we want to be.
And I know you're new to Perth, Brady, but in the football club, but you seem to beat Claremont every year despite them, you know, not always being on the same level of you in terms of the ladder, but you've just had a really good record against the Claremont Football Club. Do you know why Perth has had so much success there?
Yeah, I think obviously we spoke about it during the week, but I think the boys, I think we just match up really well. Probably our strengths are their strengths and where we lack in some of our areas, so they. And I think obviously on the weekend we got the result, but by the sounds of it, over the last few years it's kind of gone to and froing, and as I said before, I think we just match up really well. And again on the weekend we had the key forwards, which probably exposed their height a little bit, and then the same in their forward line with Waterman and Hamp. They probably found us out a little bit, but through the midfield we're pretty evenly matched. So yeah, I think just over the last few years they've probably matched up pretty well with Claremont, and obviously it worked in our favour this week, but knowing that they're going to be around in the finals and hopefully we get to play them again.
Now, Brady, we understand Perth hasn't played finals footy since 1997, which is the year that I was born, so a long time. What's the energy like around the footy club knowing that you guys are in fourth spot and looking likely for a finals tilt?
Oh, it's obviously, I think it's pretty well publicised that, you know, the club hasn't played finals since 1997, but as soon as you start looking forward to that stuff, then, you know, you slip up during the week, and especially in this season where you've only got 8 games and we're over halfway through the season and we're in a good spot at the moment, but, you know, we've got a tough challenge this week in Subiaco and then another 2 games after that. So obviously it's great to be in the position we are, and if the season finished today, we'd play finals. But I guess even last year with Perth, you know, it took until the last round where I guess us as West Coast took the final spot off them. So I guess I know personally how hard it is to hold on to a spot in the finals, and it'd be silly of us to look that far forward, but we've put ourselves in a really good position through the first 5 weeks. But as I said before, we've got Subiaco, who have played in the last 6 grand finals, and they're stimping at our toes. So we've got a big challenge this week, and if we play the footy that we've been playing, then hopefully we can play finals footy.
Hopefully no hard feelings from the Perth boys towards you, Fraser, and Andrew Fisher as well for knocking them out of the finals and ruining their campaign last year. But like we've mentioned a few times, you know, you're new to Perth this year. How have you settled into the club? Has it been an easy transition for you?
Yeah, it's been really good. Obviously, what happened with West Coast, and obviously the AFL rules preventing any players playing in the second-tier comp. So I guess I was lucky that Fraser's a local Perth boy, so he was pretty keen to get back there, and myself and Fish had never been to, I guess, a real waffle club. So I guess we were pretty lucky that they wanted to bring all three of us in, and certainly made the transition for myself and Andrew a lot easier going to the club with Fraser and us as a group. Obviously walking in 5 weeks before the season starts, it's always a bit of awkwardness, but the club's been great on and off the field, and the supporters, you know, it's nice to have them cheering for me instead of the other side, which I've copped over the years. But it's been a great club. All the boys are really good, and I think we're fitting in pretty well.
Speaking of Fraser McInnes, Fraser was on the show about 6 weeks ago, and he told us he did a little initiative called Take the Turf when he was at the West Coast. Have you brought that Take the Turf to the Demons?
We haven't actually, yeah. It was something we used fairly frequently last year at West Coast, but obviously it's a bit of a different culture and a bit more history. Being at Perth, you know, they've been around for 120 years, so it probably has a little bit less significance and having a home ground, which we didn't have last year. So I guess for us, it's just rocking up every week and trying to win every game. And we haven't used that yet, but we'll keep it in the back pocket for when we need it over the next 3 weeks.
Now, you speak about how you played for West Coast last year in the Waffle, but you actually managed to play 21 games for Frio in the AFL. What did being in that system teach you? And have you tried to bring some of that into the Perth Footy Club this year?
Yeah, it was a little bit. Obviously, I had 5 years at Frio and then last year with West Coast in the pre-season. So being around, I guess, the elite players in Australia, obviously, at Frio, there's a few good players there. And obviously, West Coast were coming off the premiership the year I was there. So probably little things I picked up along the way, which I've tried to implement into my game. But probably more importantly, from a leadership and point of view and trying to set a good example, especially at Perth. Having three clubs and, you know, we've got Logan McDonald, Nathan Ojusku and Regan Clark, three guys that were playing Colts footy last year. And it's good for them to come in. And I guess for myself and Fraze and Chris Maston, who have got, I guess, significant AFL experiences, come in and try and help the training standards and hopefully drive Perth Footy Club to success. And we're starting to build an imprint that way. But until we actually play finals footy and win a flag, then the work's not done yet.
Brady, over the weekend, we've seen some of the best celebration of Indigenous culture in the AFL with the Sir Doug Nicholls Indigenous Round. You're in the 2015 Indigenous All-Stars team alongside players like Sean Burgo and Lewis Jeddah. Who is your favourite Indigenous player and who did you look up to growing up?
Probably looking up, I think, like most people, Cyril Rioli was the one that kind of drew the attention. And then being at Frio, I had, you know, Michael Wilders, who was playing... You know, obviously he's turned into a star now, but him, Stephen Hill and Michael Johnson were probably the three that, when I first moved over from Tassie, that kind of took me on board and I guess made it proud to be part of the Indigenous culture from Tassie. And then, you know, they're all three pretty good players. So the example they set and kind of three that I latched on once I was over here, but probably Cyril Rioli was the one growing up. And I think, you know, he's probably... the significant one that everyone will say because of the way he plays and the celebrations and everything and the excitement he brings for footy. And I think he's coming back soon, so there'll certainly be some interested viewers when he does return to the field.
Yeah, well, Cyril Rioli certainly had a lot of fans around the country, and I think all three of us here are massive fans of Cyril as well, so you're not alone there, Brady.
Delicious.
Yes, delicious Cyril. We talked earlier before, you're playing Subiaco this week and they find themselves in a position that they haven't found themselves in for the best part of a decade, which is fighting to make the finals. What's the kind of the focus going into playing them this week?
Yeah, obviously I think they'd lost one game in three seasons before this year, so they're certainly a powerhouse and, you know, won four of the last six grannies and played in all six. So we're not shying away from the history that they've had, and the majority of those players are still at the club. And you know, we've got our review tonight and then we'll quickly shift our attention to Subi. And obviously, they haven't been in the greatest form, but the players that they've got on their list, they're certainly capable. You know, Ben Solkol has a Bernie Naylor and Lockie Delahunty is a Sandover medalist last year. So they've certainly got a lot of players. I think Horsley will be back this week. So, you know, they're a pretty strong side. We'll have a look at how East Perth beat them on the weekend and see what we can implement into our game style and try and get the result. Which will help us chase our finals campaign and obviously not help theirs.
Well, Brady, you had a great game last week. Thanks so much for chatting with us. And we wish you the best of luck against Subi. The blockbuster will be on Channel 7, 12:05 Bounce Down. Now, us here at the Monday Waffle, we do have our fingers and toes crossed that you can break the dry streak and get into the finals for 2020.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's time for the Monday Waffle News.
It's time for the news and what's making waves since last Monday. Cam McCarthy from Frio wants to go back to his old Waffle club, South Fremantle, but unfortunately, he was past the WAFC transfer cutoff, so it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Now, Mitch, you were at the WA Football Commission hearing on Wednesday. What was going on there and what did you find out?
Yeah, so the WAFC fronted up against the Public Accounts Committee on Wednesday. It was just a massive look into basically the entire financial situation of the WAFC, how they were spending their money. So it was triggered by those kind of that leaked salary document that happened back in, I think it was back in June now. detailing kind of what executives were being paid at the time. So that was a catalyst for it. But the whole hearing went into, you know, extreme detail and where the WAFC money is coming from and where it's going to, and how they're spending that throughout the community, throughout the Waffle, and throughout the talent pathways. So the big takeaway was that obviously because of coronavirus affecting the AFL and the Waffle, that their profit's going to drop from $31 million last year to $21 this year. So losing $10 million, which is why there's been so many job cuts around the Waffle.
Wait, they're still making profit though? Or you mean
they're
revenue?
Making $21 million.
Wow, that's, I mean, given the circumstances, that's not too bad.
It's because a lot of their money comes from the AFL.
Okay.
So it's revenue, not profit.
Oh, revenue.
Unfortunately. But they,
right, I thought it might have been revenue.
But yeah, it's still $31 million down to $21. And they said, hopefully, with AFL, maybe return to a bit more normality next year. I'm not sure how exactly. They might bounce back up to like $24 million.
Now,
but they were projecting way higher than that before COVID.
They'll get a paycheck from the AFL if finals footy is played in Perth. Is that right? For use of Optus Stadium?
So every time the AFL clubs get money, they basically get... They get money from Optus Stadium and they get money from the AFL clubs.
Yeah.
They did mention in their agreement, which people might not realise, they actually are worse off being at Optus because the agreement isn't quite as friendly to the WA Footy Commission. So they were making more money at Subiaco. They might have had like a too friendly situation there.
Right.
But they did mention that the move to Optus has actually hampered them a little bit and they're making a little less money. So,
but I'd say that now that it's happened, it would be friendlier being at Optus than being at the Gabba for the finals.
100%.
So let's hope for not just our sake as viewers, but also for the Footy Commission over in WA that finals are held here.
Yeah. Too many fingers crossed.
A little bit of less money, but they're still trying to spend it.
My toes are crossed as we speak.
They're trying to spend it in the right way, which is the good thing about that, Sam.
Now, turning to tips for the weekend. Holly, who have you got?
Well, West Perth have a bye, but I've just tipped them for a great week off. Good luck, boys. Have a nice rest.
I don't mind that by you, Holly, but Sam, Perth v Subiaco is, as we mentioned before, when we had a chat to Brady Gray.
Perth.
Was 12:05 Mineral Resources Park on Channel 7. You're going Perth?
Perth's
going
to win it.
Holly? Perth.
I'm going Subiaco in an upset because I have to back my boys
All right. What about Peel versus South Freo? I'm going to go for South Freo.
South Freo for me as well.
South Freo.
2 p.m. down in Mandurah, that one. So just check the start times because this year they've all been all over the place. So 12:05 for the Super game, 2 p.m. for South, and East Perth v Swans is coming up at 2:30.
I just want to say what an upset it will be if Peel do beat out South Fremantle. Yeah,
not going to happen because South are the best side. But East Perth v Swan Districts, 2:30 at Leaderville.
I'm going the Royals.
This is our chance to tip the Royals.
Aiden Lynch. The mighty Royals.
Lunchbox, Aiden Lynch, hopefully you're listening in because there's three people tipping the Royals here this week, so we're back on the bandwagon. That's on Sport FM as well, 91.3.
2:30 at Leaderville Oval. Yep, and then East Freo versus Claremont, 2:30 at New Choice Homes Arena. I'm going with Claremont. I have to go tip Claremont.
Yep, I'll be tipping Claremont too.
And Claremont for me as well. Let's go Jack Lucy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's all we got time for on this week's episode of the Monday Waffle. We hope you enjoyed. And as always, if you want to hear more, follow us on all our platforms wherever you get your podcasts.
Until next time.
Enjoy the footy.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.